How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. I am joined, as always, by Harrison Fagan. You can find our shows on Audio Boom, on iTunes, and on Silver Screen and Roll. We always send out, some kind of article as soon as we record the podcast, or as soon as the podcast is live, usually right around midnight on the night before the podcast airs, and then it flies out all over social media the next morning. To be
all
carried
over.
Out through,
it's
yeah,
trending.
Everywhere.
It's trending.
Yeah, it's the
Everyone
Shane Brown of podcasts.
It
yeah,
it's oh god.
I promised myself I wasn't going to go there. I went there.
Let's walk away.
All right. Well, that was a good episode, everybody. I'll talk to everybody tomorrow.
No, wait. Hold on. Don't hang up.
All right. So today's podcast is going to be about Greg Popovich. For some reason, he was really talkative today. He never talks ever. And he took time today to talk to some reporters after practice. He is, I believe he's the head coach of the select team, right? That's his role.
Well, he's going to be the next head coach of the USA team. So I know he's around the camp. I don't know exactly what he's doing. But so would it be fair to kind of call this episode Popped on Lakers? Since, it's not really, we aren't locked on right now. We're just using Pop's takes for today.
It's too bad the Lakers official podcast is already the Popcorn Machine, because that would be perfect titling for this one.
Pop on Popcorn. that seems like kind of a niche podcast he could record. Like, he just drinks wine and reviews different brands of microwave popcorn.
Pop, pop. Where are my community fans at? All right. So today's show, like I said, is going to be talking about Greg Popovich. He spoke about Brandon Ingram. He spoke about Julius Randle, and he made interesting points on both, in my opinion. And then in our opinion, I guess Harrison found it interesting too. We'll find out. Let's not spoil
Stay
anything
tuned.
For anybody.
Let's find out if I found it interesting. I don't know yet. I haven't decided.
And then on top of that, we're going to what we found interesting, or what I've noticed, is there's just all around praise that has been just lapped on these on the Lakers young core, and it runs in direct contradiction of what Byron Scott has been saying for the last 2 years. So I find that those dueling narratives interesting. So that's what we'll wrap up the show with today. So without further ado, in your best Greg Popovich impression, Harrison, tell us what he said about Brandon Ingram.
I am not going to do a Greg Popovich impression, but I will paraphrase kind of what he said about Brandon Ingram. It sounded like Pop, to my understanding, was a little bit surprised that Kevin Durant had compared Brandon Ingram to himself, was a little bit taken aback that, Durant had kind of put those expectations on Ingram a little bit. And it seems like he tried to kind of play those expectations down a little bit, which I know you found really interesting.
Right. And I think it's also worth noting that Kevin Durant didn't say those things with the intention of we're going to get these expectations up there for this Lakers rookie. I think he's.
Oh, did you talk to Kevin Durant?
Yeah, actually I did.
I was just going to say, if you didn't, you don't know that. So get his name out your mouth.
Well, I just told you I spoke to him. So anywho, me and KD are like, I could have broken the story, but I figured I'd let him go through the Players Tribune, give them the clicks that they probably need, so.
Anthony Irwin, Players Tribune ghostwriter.
Shh. You're not supposed to know about that stuff, man. All right. So, yeah, I found it interesting because, like we spoke about yesterday, right? Yesterday we spent a good portion of the show talking about how expectations might potentially get a little too high for Brandon Ingram, because of the obvious comparison to Kevin Durant. They look a lot alike on a basketball court, not in a mirror, you know, not in pictures. But when you look at the two guys, their actual body styles, and that's actually what Pop said, you know, I believe it was Serena Winters asked him questions or follow-ups about Kevin Durant's comments. And that was pretty much the extent of the comparison Pop was willing to make, was that they looked very similar in terms of body type. And I agree wholeheartedly with Pop. We can't, it's really easy to get really excited about these young guys. You know, they come in with a ton of hype. They aren't going to be coached by Byron. That's really exciting. But at the end of the day, he's going to be 19, right? He's going to be playing the bulk of next year as a 19-year-old, and 19-year-olds in the NBA tend to struggle a bit. And the more we can temper those expectations, the better. And I thought, you know, Pop, coming from this vaunted Spurs culture, understood that and hit the nail on the head today.
Yeah, he really did Brandon Ingram a solid, I think. You know, I definitely think that I mean, the only issue is his comments, because he didn't go, yeah, Brandon Ingram for sure, next KD, you know, are not going to get as much play and already haven't gotten as much play as mm-hmm. Kevin Durant, comparing watching him to looking in a mirror. So, I mean, that's kind of, I guess, the only issue with, you know, that. But I think that it was, you know, he really did do Brandon Ingram a solid by playing down expectations a little bit. So, you know, some people might at least hear that and be like, you know, maybe we should pump the brakes just tiny, tiny bit.
And this wasn't even him saying that he didn't like Ingram. I just think he understands how much pressure these kids have on them. I mean, especially having coached Tim Duncan for going on two decades, right?
Well, it's I think he's been around the NBA long enough to understand that basically, unless your name is Karl Anthony Towns or LeBron James, 19-year-olds aren't good NBA players. Mm-hmm. They just aren't.
Right. And what I was going to talk about regarding Tim Duncan and Greg Popovich was, Duncan played with the pressure of an entire organization for the entirety of his career. Right. And Brandon Ingram doesn't enter, you know, the Lakers organization with the same expectations, but there's a lot being expected of him. You know, if he isn't as good as people hope, that's a serious hit for the Los Angeles Lakers. And what's great here is that Pop understands this and is willing to jump out in front of people to say, like, guys, he's going to be good. He never said he wasn't going to be good, but he also thinks it's unfair that there's only been one Kevin Durant, like you said yesterday, right? We've only seen one Kevin Durant to this point. To think that another one's going to come while the actual Kevin Durant is still playing in the NBA is kind of ludicrous.
Yeah, I didn't realize that Pop was going to go full Trump and plagiarize my take from this podcast, but that's fine. I can deal with it. That's like, it's cool. I guess I should be flattered by it, really. Yeah. But I guess like the take that I kind of found more interesting that Popovich had today was just kind of how glowing his praise was for Julius Randle, especially given, you know, it kind of ignited a discussion today on social media, again, of where Julius Randle's value is and how much people should, how where he ranks among the Lakers' young core, how good he can be going forward, and all that kind of thing.
Right. So to paraphrase again, or unless you have the actual statements in front of you there.
I do have his actual statements in front of me.
Look at us being prepared.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, somebody's got to do some transcribing around here, and I know it's not you, so. Yeah,
I almost quit last time.
So, Popovich on Julius Randle, he said, I didn't know him at all until we got out here, and what I found out is he's got a great sense of humor, first of all. He's a fun guy to joke with, and he'll joke back, and he's worked very hard. He's very coachable, he listens, he takes directions, he's been very enjoyable so far. And so that, I guess, marks the nicest thing an NBA coach not named Luke Walton has said about Julius Randle so far.
And so I have larger, you know, overriding points about, you know, the general praise that the Lakers have received so far. And we'll talk about that here in a second. But regarding Randle in particular, I think, like, Pop has to look at Randle and say, like, this kid could actually be really, really good, right? And not only could he be really good, but the coachability leads one to believe that the only thing getting in the way of Julius Randle's full-on development is the coaching, right? So long as he has proper direction and he listens to that direction, Randle can be very good. That's how I took Pop's comments today. I don't know. Did you read into it any further than that, or?
Well, he's obviously trying to recruit him to the Spurs in whatever year Randle becomes a restricted free. No, I did think that it was interesting to listen to him praise him that much. And I think that kind of like you, I would disagree with the coaching thing. I think that the main thing standing in Randle's way of reaching his full potential is going to be kind of how hard he works to develop himself, necessarily where coaches put him and how hard I think a large part of it is going to be what exactly, how much time he puts into making himself the best player he can be.
Right. No, I agree. Yes. It's going to come down to Randle working that hard, but according to Pop, you know, per Pop, it sounds like he thinks Randle is going to put that work in. Right.
Yeah, well, it certainly sounds like he has. Mark Medina of the LA Daily News today did a little bit of a report on Julius Randle and kind of where he's at as far as this offseason goes, because I kind of noted in my write-up of it, we know what D'Angelo Russell's been up to. We know what Jordan Clarkson's been up to. We know what Brandon Ingram's been up to. You run down the list of young guys, and we know what they've been doing this offseason. Randle, it's been a little bit more hazy. So, Mark went in, and he reported a little bit about Julius's workouts. And so I guess I'm reading from his piece here. He spent May and June in the Lakers practice facility completing two-a-day workouts. That began with weight training and basketball drills in the morning and more basketball at night. To add more strength and conditioning to his listed 6'9", 250-pound frame, Randle occasionally has completed running drills on a sand pit. He also has continued his year-long quest to improve his jump shot while making slight unspecified tweaks to his regimen.
To his resume.
I mean, maybe he's been updating his resume. I don't know.
Don't sleep on LinkedIn, man.
Yeah, LinkedIn is valuable.
But all right, so a couple things. While we were out there in Vegas, we happened to bump into Eric Pincus, you know, while we were all out to dinner. We were all eating at that Firefly place, and we all kind of ran into each other. And Pincus was pretty, you know, he stressed that Randle looked a lot trimmer this year, right? That he was impressed by how in shape Randle looks this year compared to when he was drafted, right?
Oh yeah, so, well, he looks I don't know if you saw the picture of him running in the sand from that training facility a couple weeks ago, but like he looks ripped. Like that, like he always kind of looked a little bit chubbier like since he came into the league. Like, I mean, he obviously carried the weight well, but he was just a little bit doughier, and it looks like kind of the Dozeman cooked, I guess.
Right. That's a little interesting.
Yeah, that was weird. I apologize to everyone. That was I went too far with the wordplay. I'm going to go in timeout. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to take it a step further. If you're looking for nicknames, Julius, you could go with the Pillsbury double double guy. You can.
That was even worse. Good Lord. Oh man. Like, I think we just lost every listener.
Yeah. It's been real.
They're all gone.
It's been fun. But yeah. Yes, I would agree that Randle has the work ethic, you know, as evidenced by the transformation he's undergone from last year to this year. If he can improve that jumper, and look, I'm going to go on a minor rant if you don't mind, but
sure.
With shooting, I look at shooting just as any other skill. And I look at athleticism as a skill as well. It's something that you can work on, you know, and it's something you can improve. But some people are just born better shooters than others. And some people are born better athletes than others. Like, that's just how that plays out, right?
Yeah.
But for some reason, I tend to see, you know, fans, especially casual fans, and I'm not knocking anybody, I understand where the sentiment might come from, but I tend to hear a lot of, well, if he could just add a jumper, right? He's skilled enough that he should just be able to add a jumper. That's not necessarily how this plays out, right? For every Kawhi Leonard who entered the NBA, a not very good shooter and is now a very good shooter, we have a Rajon Rondo who still looks like he's shooting, you know, using the wrong hand while obliterated off of absinthe. Right. So I'd say
that was
yes.
Extreme. That was extreme.
You know, yeah. I mean,
I think Rondo just like winced somewhere. Like he's probably asleep and he was just like, ah, oh, that hurt.
Well, that's what the rim says every time he shoots. So,
burn. I wish we had a horn. We need to get a horn.
or some aloe, either a horn or some aloe. But I would tell people to just kind of take it easy on this whole, this idea that, yeah, just Randall can just add a jumper to his, you know, repertoire and he'd be perfectly fine. Right. It's just not that easy. And some people work their whole lives. It doesn't matter how long you spend at a gym. Some people just don't have the rhythm. They don't have the hand-eye coordination, whatever it might be, to develop that jumper. And, you know, while I would love to see Randall do it, and while he obviously needs to, if he doesn't, I wouldn't necessarily call it, you know, some type of negative statement about his work ethic or game as a whole, right? It's really hard to learn how to shoot. And this is coming from a shooting coach. Like it used to be my job to help kids shoot. And some kids just never got it no matter how hard they tried.
So first off, I think you just admitted that you were a bad shooting coach. So that's fine. I wanted to get that on the record anyway. Hey,
those who can't do coach, those who can't coach podcast, like that's.
that's why we're in the media, right? Uh-huh. Because we can't coach. That's why we're not out there coaching. Just like Don McLean. But I want, with all of those caveats being said that you just raised, you raised a lot of really good points. I agree with you that not everyone can develop a jumper. Shout out to DeAndre Jordan. But with all of that being said, Randall's jumper, from what we've seen, the little snippets of practice footage, does look a little bit more effective. And so with that and with kind of all the praise coming for him out of Team USA, I was kind of curious, you know, we have this debate. We aren't on a gondola anymore, so the audio quality is a little bit better this time. But I wanted your opinion on, like, do you feel a little any better at all about his ceiling as a player? Do you feel a little bit more comfortable? Are you out of the kind of prisoner of the moment, Larry Nance Jr. is playing well mode, if that's what you feel like caught you? Or do you still feel like Nance Jr. is kind of definitively the better prospect going forward?
See, that was the thing, was that like we started that conversation with, and if you guys are interested, you can always go back and re-listen to it. It was a fun one. I'd actually go try and find it on video. It's an even better video because you see us with like a gondolier behind us.
It's on Facebook Live on Silver Screen and Roll. Just check out the Facebook page. Give it a like while you're there.
But like we started that conversation with, all right, in a vacuum, who's the better player right now? Right. And I think we both agreed that the better player right now is still still Julius Randle. Right.
Yeah.
You know,
did we agree on that? I thought that you disagreed with that.
No, I think I would say in a vacuum right now, Randall is a better player. Now, I do think that Larry Nance Jr. has closed that gap because he has improved his shooting and he is healthier, making him more athletic than he was last year, right? So,
You mean healthier than he was last year, not as in he's healthier than Rand. Okay, because I was going to say he did just have the wrist thing.
But right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Compared to last year, because remember last year he was still coming off of that torn ACL.
Yeah. He was saying that his knee finally feels better. I guess he was telling people around summer league.
Mm-hmm. So I would say in a vacuum, I would still lean towards Randall, but I do think because of Larry Nance's improved shooting right now, it wouldn't shock me that Larry Nance Jr. turns out to be the better player long-term, right? Because what you can't have in today's NBA, unless you're like 7'2" and extremely athletic, like an Andre Drummond or a DeAndre Jordan, or, you know, even Willie Cauley-Stein to a certain extent, right? What you can't be is a 6'10" guy who can't space the floor. Like those guys are becoming extinct, and it's for a reason. And if Randall can't shoot, now if he is improving, all the more to him. I'm not going to formulate an opinion Like you can't criticize, or not you, but people can't criticize others for falling prisoner of the moment to Larry Nance Jr. playing in actual basketball games, when we're also then looking at Julius Randle's 4 set shots that we've seen in these clips of his practice time with Team USA. I mean, am I off base with anything that I'm saying there?
No, I don't think so. I do think that it's kind of like Darius Soriano pointed out at Forum Blue and Gold today. People shouldn't forget how much skill and promise Randle has just because he didn't play in Summer League. And I felt like that was kind of where a lot of that discussion came from. Mm-hmm. Although I do agree.
It's also kind of his own fault. Like, he could have played in Summer League.
Well, he could have, but like, third year players just don't play. That just doesn't really happen.
Mm-hmm.
It just was never really realistic to expect him to play in Summer League. There's just kind of a stigma that goes with that. That, like, if you're a third year player playing there, you kind of suck. I mean, like, that's generally what it is. You're trying to prove that you belong on an NBA roster.
Right. The obvious counter is that he's not your typical third year player.
That's true, but I can completely understand why he wouldn't want to play. And I also kind of see what you're saying about Larry Nance Jr. potentially being a better fit with the young core going forward in the starting lineup. But even if that's the case, which I'm not 100% sure about, but even if that's the case, I think that Randle is reminding us that he's still a really good prospect, and he still has a lot of promise in his game. And there are just like a lot of really unique things he can do. Everybody got excited by Nance pushing the break off of rebounds during Summer League, and Randle has a better handle than him. Randle can push the ball too off of rebounds when given permission to, and he did at times last year. Mm-hmm. And it'll look a lot better this year with another kind of year of learning how to make better decisions, you would hope, under his belt, and with better shooters on the floor as well.
Right. And I think the conclusion that we wound up coming to in that previous podcast was that it's not terrible to have two really good power forwards moving forward, right? Like, it's not a bad thing that you look at that position and you say, you know what, we're probably set for the next decade.
Yeah, and especially if either of them can start to spend time guarding fives a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because offensively, that lineup could be dynamite, especially if Nance Jr. has improved his shot and kind of the limited results from Summer League hold. Then, you know, that lineup can absolutely work offensively if that's the case. Defensively, one of them has to be able to guard fives, and, you know, the kind of the jury's out on whether or not either of them can do that. But, you know, there are reasons to think that it's possible.
Right. Yeah.
Randle's strong enough, and like, Nance Jr. has the shot blocking ability. So you'd think, you know, one of them could figure it out.
We always present the caveat that there's probably not going to be another Draymond Green anytime soon, right? Because there really wasn't one before him.
Except Larry Nance Jr.
but, you know, I could see the seeds of a blossoming, you know, like if Draymond Green is a 10 out of 10 on the Draymond Green scale, could Larry Nance Jr. be like a 7 and a 5 to 8 out of 10? You know, I think that's possible.
Yeah, maybe eventually.
And same for Randle. Right. I'm not saying like next year or anytime soon. Over the stretch of their careers, could they develop into 80% of what Draymond Green is? I would say yes. I would say that that's possible. Right.
Yeah, and that's possible, because they already have some of the skills. They just don't have the whole package of skills.
Right. Right. So.
Baby lineup of death. We're going to have to think of a new kind of a new nickname for that one, because, you know, Golden State, you know, they had the lineup of death and they kicked Harrison Barnes out of it. And now they have just like the Death Star. I forget who I saw refer to it as that, but that thing's going to destroy some planets this year with Kevin Durant and Harrison Barnes's place.
Maybe the Lakers can have like the lineup of kicks to the shin. Like, that'd be.
Yeah, it's painful, but it's not just going to massacre you.
Exactly.
Yeah. The lineup of shin kicks.
Bunch of shin kickers. All right. So, we rambled on Randle a little bit. And honestly, I guess because of the way the conversation goes on Twitter, we could have a, you know, we could blow out the entire conversation about Randle to longer than 10 or so minutes. But what I found more interesting, or what I have found more interesting from all of summer camp, has been just this, how positive people are from, you know, or about the young Lakers. And again, we're coming off of a year where, like, let's face it, there's no other way to put this. Byron was an a-hole, right? Like Byron.
Well, I mean, to be honest, I'm getting like kind of tired of just trashing Byron all the time. Well, like, he was obviously awful. I agree. But
what I mean though, is that like we come off of that, and then maybe what, a month or two removed, we have people with much better reputations around the league.
Yeah.
Saying much better things about these guys. And yes, I agree. Eventually there will come a time, and that time is really soon, if it hasn't passed already, where we just say, all right, enough with that other guy. What I was going to say was the national narrative has come about because of the last guy. And what I would hope is, because you have people with better reputations than the last guy saying nicer things about these guys and being impressed by by this young squad, that the national narrative starts to turn on itself a little bit and say, you know what, maybe we were a little too hard on these guys. Maybe the Lakers have a legitimate reason. The Laker fans have a legitimate reason to be optimistic.
Yeah. And again, I didn't want to fire shots at you or anything. I'm not saying just you. It's like, there are plenty of people that, you know, I think that kind of narrative gets blown out a little bit. But I do agree that in this specific case, it is relevant, because I think all that stuff comes from the top, right? Where like a lot of these guys, we've talked about it. A lot of the time, all people hear, or the loudest voice people hear about these players, is their head coach, because that's mm-hmm. the guy that talks to the media the most. Mm-hmm. So if you have a head coach that's talking really negatively about your team's number one assets all the time, that's going to kind of devalue them, not only in the eyes of, I mean, probably not in the eyes of GMs, but maybe in the eyes of other players.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because those GMs obviously do their own work, but I like, most players aren't sitting there scouting everyone in the league, you know, like that's not their job. And so like now you have Luke Walton coming in, and he's the guy at the top, and he's talking about, you know, these guys like, you know, like they're the greatest thing since sliced bread, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, and he's been in the house, right? He's been watching all of these practices. He's been watching this mini camp take place as well. So, you know, he has to be excited by, you know, about what he's seen so far. And yeah, I mean, just look at the names who are saying that these guys look good, right? Kevin Durant saying that Brandon Ingram looks good. All right, I think Kevin Durant knows a little something about what a good NBA player looks like. Great Popovich.
I mean, a counterpoint, though, he did call Jimmer Fredette the best scorer in the world at one point. And, you know, Jimmer Fredette wasn't the best scorer in summer league this year, or I mean, even top 10.
How do we know he was talking about basketball?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, maybe Jimmer Fredette is like really good at Tetris or something.
Yeah, like were you inside Kevin Durant's head when he made those statements?
No, you know what? That's fair. That's fair. That's a fair point. You kind of you brought my rebuttal back on me, and I deserved that. So I think what we've learned tonight is that neither of us talked to Kevin Durant.
Dang it. But yeah, I just come back to, so Durant talks about Ingram, Pop talks about Randle. You see, I was, you know, there was a picture today that was spread around Twitter of Carmelo either with his arm around Russell or vice versa, but they were really
close. He was in his ear.
He was in his, not as in his head, but he was in his ear. You know, and all these guys, you have really talented people, really smart NBA people who are impressed by what the Lakers have put together. I don't know, like, at what point do we start saying, you know what, maybe those guys are onto something, and maybe the people who've been spouting negativity about these guys. And it's, I'm not saying that criticizing any of these kids is wrong, right? Like, there were
legitimate criticisms of them last year, for sure.
Right. So I'm not out here, you know, standing or caping for anybody. What I am saying, though, is that it might have gone a little too far in that other direction. And now we're finding out that smarter people are saying nicer things about these guys. So maybe we should listen to them.
I did think that it was, you know, you talked about Pop talking about Randall and KD talking about Ingram and, you know, well, no one, I mean, Popovich talked positively about Russell today as well a little bit, but the more interesting kind of anecdote that I heard, I saw someone tweet about this, was that Carmelo, in addition to, you know, tutoring Russell on the bench a little bit, evidently got a little bit upset with Kyrie Irving for not guarding him more closely during scrimmages. And you know, that made me laugh out loud at lunch today, actually. That was that was kind of funny to just picture Carmelo Anthony yelling at Kyrie Irving to, like, hey, actually, like, go guard this rookie.
Just like Carmelo telling anybody about talking to anybody about defense is phenomenal.
I wasn't even thinking about it from that perspective, but yeah. Why doesn't anyone play defense around here? As his man just, like, walks past him to the basket.
Yeah. Why isn't anybody playing defense? He says from the opposite end of the court.
He's like cherry picking.
Oh man. No, but we'll wrap this up because it is the off season and we don't want to ramble on forever. But I do think that, you know, and I tweeted this out, that I can't help but be pretty much thrilled by how this mini camp has gone, right? And it wraps up tomorrow. So, you know, we'll find some new way to talk about it tomorrow. Somebody will say something interesting tomorrow that will stretch out into a fuller conversation. But for the most part,
Team Stretch? US- we aren't stretching. Come on. These are all legitimate issues.
We're stretching these conversations like fans hope the Lakers stretch Nick Young. But the
man, you just feel like you're just dropping fire tonight.
You know, it's a Wednesday night. I had a nice dinner. I actually have dinner waiting for me after we wrap this up. So
two dinners. Wow. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's go ahead and get out of here. But
you drop it like it would, like, you know, two chains is like a pretty good rapper. And so we should just call you
chins.
Two dinners.
No, I'm two chins. Yes.
Two chins. I apologize for that again.
Oh, that's phenomenal. Let's just end that right there. So with all that said and done, to recap the show, we talked about Pop on Kevin Durant, who said stuff about Brandon Ingram and managing those expectations there. Pop then spoke about Randall very positively as well. We talked about the larger statement that everybody has made, you know, everybody has made about the Lakers so far and how this Team USA select camp has gone. You know, as it gets ready to wrap up over the next couple days, we'll have a little bit for you, a little more for you tomorrow. Keep sending us questions. I did see an interesting question today that I think we should get to.
Okay. Let me just pull up the questions real quick. I have them. We have the questions. So I think the one that you're talking about is not whoever asked is a hot dog a sandwich, because that's like the dumbest on Twitter, you know, ever, that I could not be more tired of. But who will be the better shooter? This is from Kobe Bean at Raider Laker 24. Thank you for being the only person to ask a legitimate question. Who will be the better shooter in 2 years, Ingram or Russell?
I'm gonna go ahead and say, that's tough.
So I guess if we're talking percentage wise, I think you almost have to say Ingram. Because I think that a lot of Russell's threes are going to be, he's going to have more off the dribble ones than Ingram will. So I think his percentages will probably be a little lower than Ingram's.
That's fair. My thing with Ingram is he has to bulk up and
to shoot. You know,
yeah, it makes a big difference. That little bit of strength, especially in your shoulder region.
You're a failed shooting coach. You would know better than me.
I'm going to change my at failed shooting coach. But it makes a big difference to be able to, you know, shoot the three-pointer with putting less effort into it because you've bulked up a little bit. So if Ingram does add a few pounds of muscle, especially up in the shoulder area, in the tricep area, then I like his chances of being a really, really good shooter. But as of right now, because of his form, Russell uses a little bit more of his right thumb, which helps him improve his range a little bit. I actually like Russell's shot at the pro level right now more than Ingram as a set shot. Now, we'll see how that develops over the next 2 years.
Yeah, I guess the other argument I would make as a counter thing for Russell is, you know, agreeing with you, is that apparently even when he airballs his shots, they bounce in sometimes, as we saw at the via the Lakers today. They had Russell is just apparently now, like, regular shots are too easy, and he's just decided to try and bounce them in.
There's another angle to that, which is behind him, and it shows the first one he shoots, which was, you know, not close, and then he shoots the second one, and before it even hits the ground, he says, "Oh, that's in." And I'm sitting there like, how many times have you shot this? have you let this shot go, where you're saying, where you know that, you know, upon release that it's going in?
After don't say he's wasting his time in the gym.
That was impressive to me.
He's like the guy in Wanted, like, that can bend bullets. He just can, like, bounce shots off of anything at any angle.
Oh, there's some potential for this.
I mean, he did hit, like, I have seen him hit a shot laying on his back at half court before. So, yeah. You know, yeah. Jimmer Fredette or D'Angelo Russell, greatest scorer in the world, ? I don't know. It's probably Russell.
Probably. I would go that way. All right. Well, thanks everybody for listening. Again, make sure you subscribe, make sure you rate the show, review the show. Even if you say anything on there, say it's a good show and I like ice cream. Like, that's perfectly fine with me. If I see that review on there, I'll follow that person on Twitter. I will follow whoever writes that on Twitter.
Tweet us screen grabs of your reviews.
Yeah. And
especially if they say it's like, if especially if they say Harrison should get his own podcast, Anthony sucks.
That you can't tell your mom to write these things, Harrison.
My mom does not know how to use iTunes.
All right, we'll talk to everybody again tomorrow. This was fun. This was Locked On Lakers. I'm Anthony Irwin at Anthony Irwin LA. That is Harrison Fagan at HM Fagan. And we'll talk to everybody again, like tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, coach.